From being a CEO of a big corporation to the nonprofit world, why so many baby boomers are making the change. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9, and thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live at 9. Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just ahead, with 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day in this country, what's the next chapter? We'll hear from some right here in this area, and we want to hear from all of you as well out there listening. What's the next chapter in your life if you've reached retirement age? Give us a call at 549-2937. Plus, Mayo Clinic's breast cancer vaccine trial going on right now. We'll tell you all about it. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And how about this? The Boy Scouts are now co-ed. We'll hear how the first girls to join Cub Scouting in this area are doing on their way to becoming Eagle Scouts themselves. All of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, the nation's baby boomers continue to age and transition out of their lifelong careers, often in the corporate world. According to AARP, 10,000 baby boomers in this country turn 65 every day. That's 7 per minute. So as this huge group retires, what's the next chapter? Guess what? Most of them are not playing golf. Many are taking their skills built over a lifetime and turning them to making a difference, most often in the nonprofit world. Here in Jacksonville, we're fortunate to have quite a few former corporate leaders who've done just that. This morning, we're shining a spotlight on four of them as we welcome Dave Josseran, Vice President of Development with the Alzheimer's Association, Central and North Florida. Good morning.
Good morning.
Erin Handy, she's Field Campaigns Manager for Oceana, the Southeast Chapter.
Good morning, Melissa.
Tim Kost, President, CEO of Jacksonville University.
Hi, Melissa.
And Kevin Gay, CEO of Operation New Hope.
Good morning.
Good morning to you all. What you all have in common is that you've all left careers in the corporate world to now make a big difference in the nonprofit world. And as we talk to this foursome, here's our question to callers. Are you a baby boomer about to retire? Maybe you already have retired. If so, what are you doing with the next phase of your life? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. Or let us know, baby boomers out there, what you're doing with your next phase of life on our Facebook page. All right. There's so much to talk about with the four of you. I barely know where to begin. You're all making such amazing contributions to this community. But I'm going to begin with Dave Josseran, who suggested this idea today and who spent 20 years at the Dalton Agency, one of the principals at that PR and marketing firm. Full disclosure, I used to work there myself. And you left that career and retired, but didn't retire. You thought a little bit about what you wanted to do, and now you are with the Alzheimer's Association. What led to that change?
Well, it's been an interesting transition for sure. First and foremost, I think as I began to map my departure from a company that I'd spent a lot of years with, my big question was, what was I going to do with my time? And I think after 2 weeks, realizing I was going to lose my mind just doing nothing, and I could only play a certain amount of golf and only go to the gym so many times a day, I had always had a part of me that was very engaged in the nonprofit side. I served on many national boards, continue to serve on other national boards of other nonprofits. So this was a fairly natural transition for me, but it was one that came with a lot of desire to sink my teeth into something that still had a mission. It had a purpose to it, that I could take the skills that I had acquired through years in the broadcasting business and the advertising business and apply those to a cause that I thought was relevant. Mm-hmm. And we all represent relevant organizations and causes that are important to us and to other people. So that's how I kind of transitioned into this. The other the other thing that I kind of realized too, somebody told me the other day, I was having lunch with a friend of mine, and he said, you know, life comes in three segments. There's learning, there's earning, and there's giving. Mm. So when you start thinking about that, I can't envision the next decade or maybe even two decades just retiring in a traditional sense. So that's how I kind of transitioned
sure.
into this.
And I think millions of Americans are right there with you. Let's talk to the rest of the group. We'll just go around the table. Aaron Handy, you're with Oceana. You are involved with this amazing nonprofit trying to protect the oceans and the coastlines from offshore oil drilling, seismic testing. But you transitioned into that job from a corporate job as well, right?
That's correct. I was in the corporate world in sales and marketing and training and development for over 25 years. And like Dave, I was involved in the nonprofit conservation world for many, many years as well. And when I left the corporate world and thought about what I wanted to do next, I realized that what I enjoyed doing the most was working to protect our oceans, our waves, our beaches. I volunteered for over 20 years with the Surfrider Foundation and became the chair of the First Coast chapter of the Surfrider Foundation based right here in Jacksonville Beach. And I think probably like a lot of us, I thought, wow, if I could get paid to do this wonderful work that I've volunteered for so long, wouldn't that be a great retirement career? And that's exactly what happened when Oceana, who's based in Washington, D.C. and is the world's largest nonprofit working solely on ocean conservation, got the funding to put a position in Florida. I applied for the job and got it.
And got it. All right. Tim Kost, president of Jacksonville University, you've applied a lifetime in the corporate world to really transforming JU. And the surrounding, you're working on the surrounding community as well, Arlington, renewing the neighborhood around the campus. There is so much happening on JU's campus right now. And you've brought that corporate training to this role, which is a nonprofit role as well. What motivated you to make that sort of transition?
Sure. And I give everybody credit for having this conversation. I think more and more of our friends in their 50s are looking at things the same way. In the case of Stephanie and I, it was we'd had a very good go of it in corporate America. I'd been at six Fortune 500 companies. She'd been at a couple. And to us, it came down to kind of the third phase, the third act of your life. You know, how are you going to pursue the things you really believe in? We can keep adding zeros to our bank account. We really didn't look at it as for-profit, not-for-profit. When we were in the so-called for-profit world at PepsiCo or Bristol-Myers, I thought we were doing a lot of good in the community there, too. It's sort of, how could you make it the top priority? And in our case, we believe in education. We believe in the outcome of young people, so we made it our number one priority.
And here you are.
Here I am.
And our final member of the foursome, Kevin Gay, CEO of Operation New Hope, doing amazing nonprofit work, helping people transition out of incarceration. And really, it's a multifaceted organization you lead. But tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, mine's a little different. I had kind of a wake-up call with a priest friend of mine, a woman by the name of Mother Davette Turk. She's a first Episcopalian woman ordained in Florida. Incredible story. And she was our priest of our family church. And for years, you know, I had talked to her about, I was traveling a lot. I said, I love this city. I was born and raised here, but I never really felt like I was plugged in to the community. And what I didn't realize also was I was coming to her a couple of times a year. I was going on a mission trip. And so one of the times when I was in her office and I was getting ready to go to South America, she, out of the blue, said, so when are guys like you going to get it? And I'm like, well, this was not what I was expecting. Normally she would pray over me and, you know, just kind of send me on. And she said, before you go on this next trip, I want you to do something. I want you to get in your fancy little car. I want you to drive to the north side of town for a week. I'm going to match you up with somebody. And then I want you to come back and tell me why going to some other country is so more important than staying here in our community. And I really, you know, I didn't understand the depths of what she was challenging me to do, but I did. A guy named Ed Hayes, a wonderful guy, former NFL football player, took me into part of Jacksonville. I got to tell you, I'm ashamed to say it, I'd never been. But we took about a week and a half. And also after, you know, kind of got in and saw the tale of two cities, so to speak, I was moved. I mean, I was embarrassed. I was touched in so many ways, but I realized when I was coming back that I had lived in my own city for a long time, you know, worked in corporate America for 20 years, that I had blinders on. And so it really shook me. And I actually, at the time, I was on the board of Habajacks, like everybody here that was involved on boards. So I got a little bit of a taste of it, but I was always able to check off that box and feel like I had done part of what I needed to do in the community. And the reality of it was I wasn't engaged. I had no idea what was happening. And so I thought I was going to take a 6-month sabbatical, and then, you know, now 20 years later.
That's a long sabbatical.
Yep, right. Yeah. So that's how I got in.
Yeah. So now you're really engaged in neighborhoods that, as you said before, you weren't as aware of. And all of you are engaged in a new way. And as we continue talking with Tim Koss, president of JU, Aaron Handy of Oceana, Dave Josserin with the Alzheimer's Association, and Kevin Gay of Operation New Hope, here's our question to all of you out there. With 10,000 baby boomers retiring in this country every single day, if you're one of those people, what's your next chapter? And how are you contributing? Because increasingly, people are not really retiring anymore. They want to stay active, they want to stay engaged, and they want to make a contribution. So what's yours? Give us a call, 549-2937. Philip is in Lake City. Hey, Philip, good morning.
Hey, my name's Philip Mobley. How you doing, Kevin? I retired from Florida Blue after 34 years of working, and left there and got into the nonprofit. Actually, right now, I'm finishing up my doctorate at UNF, hopefully to be confirmed in December. I'm now in Lake City, and I'm a minister of a church here, but I actually started a nonprofit as well. My passion has always been, like someone said, to give. It's the third part of your life, and that's what I truly feel like I have to do, is to give back to the things I've received.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Thanks, Philip. Sounds like he knows you.
Yeah.
And
Philip,
thanks for the call.
Philip was with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and when we were beginning to do some work on process mapping, kind of talk about, you know, everybody here, what kind of a business approach did you take? I said, we need to really review processes, and he came in, did Six Sigma, and worked with us. And so, yeah, he was a great contributor.
Is that something all of you kind of, I think it's why you're so coveted in the nonprofit world. You just apply a business mindset, in a mm-hmm. sense, to challenges in the nonprofit world. I mean, they're two very different cultures, but a lot of the skills transfer.
You know, I think that a lot of the nonprofit world is moving toward a for-profit kind of execution and mentality. And as I, you know, meet my new peers and become more exposed to a large national nonprofit like the Alzheimer's Association, there's no question that it's done in a very professional way. I think what we all bring to the table is just a little different perspective. Maybe just a way to kind of take the traditional ways of approaching a nonprofit and then trying to expand it or test the boundaries to become more productive.
Aaron.
I completely agree with Dave. And when people ask me, what is your background? Are you a marine scientist? Are you a biologist? I say, no, I'm a sales and marketing person. Those have been the greatest skills that I've brought to this ocean conservation work, is really selling to people the idea that if we don't work to protect our oceans, they aren't going to be there for us. Our kids and future generations aren't going to have the beautiful, clean beaches and the beautiful ocean ecosystems with healthy marine life that we've been able to grow up and enjoy.
And Tim Koss, you've really done the same with JU, selling a new vision for the school, not just to this community, but to the country, I think, as well.
I appreciate that. I mean, several of us do believe leadership travels. There are things you believe in. People want to follow optimistic leaders. We bring a lot of the tools and techniques that worked in places where the scorecard was a stock price every day. And in our case now, it's the future of young people. So a lot of this stuff is transferable.
Adeline in Fernandina Beach. Adeline, hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that 9 years ago in Nassau County, actually, I started a nonprofit to help the elderly citizens who receive Meals on Wheels through our Council on Aging offices. We provide the pet food and veterinary care for their companion animals. So there's a lot of need out there that in little niches that people could fill if they just, you know, looked for their passions, and animals have always been my passion.
Sure, yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, for my dad, you know, it's funny, one of you said I could only golf so many times and I could only work out so many times. My dad retired, and after about 2 weeks of that, my stepmom said, this is not working well. Because he had worked his whole life so hard and at a high level, and he just didn't know what to do with himself. And he found a way to go back into the workforce too. And he works harder now than he ever did. But he's mainly now a volunteer for a lot of different organizations. But I just think this is a generation that isn't really content with sitting at home, you know. And the other thing that I see too is how healthy people are now, and they're living so much longer. They're vibrant, they're active, they're engaged, they're healthy. It's so different from my grandparents' generation. I remember them in their early 60s being just kind of really not well, and they just seemed old. That's just not the case anymore with people. And so, we know, with decades of time ahead and road ahead, it just seems crazy not to be doing something that is fulfilling and that makes a contribution, you know?
You know, Melissa, when I interviewed with the Alzheimer's Association, one of the questions that was asked to me, well, how long do you want to do this? Which was kind of code for you're in the latter part of your career. Are you really kidding? Do you want to jump back into the deep end of the pool?
Right.
And my response really was, as long as I feel like I'm making an impact, as long as I'm both inspired by the mission and the motion of that work, as well as I was making an impact to the organization. And I think that's the barometer anymore. It's not a particular predetermined age. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we've got to look at.
Absolutely.
Now, all of that said, have any of you encountered ageism, you know, on the job? I've seen that a lot. People kind of, more on the business, the corporate side than the nonprofit side, but people sort of eased out once they get past a certain age, when often these are people that could keep contributing for a much longer time, which I always, I've just always felt that was very unfair. But what about that? Baby boomers and ageism. In the marketplace, in the business and nonprofit world?
Well, it's interesting because when I get together with my Oceana colleagues, I'm one of the three oldest people in the organization. I'm working with a lot of much, much younger people, which is great. And what I've found is that they tend to come to us, the more, you know, senior people in the organization, and looking for advice, looking for guidance, and from asking literally directly about our life experience. We've been around long enough to see when things were quite different and maybe better in the environmental world, certainly. Mm-hmm. And they find that very useful in their work.
Tim, Kevin.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is interesting in our space in the nonprofit world is the fact that most everything it's been mentioned here is mission-based, and there's some reason we've all kind of come together. And one of the things I think we also realize is that collectively, when our vision is broad and inclusive, it's really powerful. And so I think with our organization, the diversity of where people have come from, their backgrounds, their age, ethnicity, really helps us as an organization be a much stronger, inclusive organization meeting the needs of our customers. So I think for us, we look for that. And if not, they're going to be looking at me because I am the oldest one probably. So, but anyway, so I think it does provide a great sense of diversity and inclusion.
The Reverend Greg Kaufman emails the show, I'm a retired Lutheran minister and university professor. I found this city very hospitable and accepting of my efforts to promote civil discourse. I value the support from many nonprofits like Leadership Jacksonville, Baptist Health, and the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund, universities, and faith-based communities. I look forward to contributing to the development of a civil discourse coalition. We could use that. Thanks for that email. Okay, so let's I'll take a few minutes for each of you to kind of brag on what you're doing at your organizations. Tim Koss, let's begin with you. You recently completed the Aspire Capital Campaign at JU, a $120 million effort. That's just one example of what you've been doing on the JU campus. What else is going on at JU right now?
Sure. I'll be very brief because it's easy to follow what we're doing in any number of places. Large smart group of undergrads is on all 50 states, 56 foreign countries. That's really the role we play in the community. We work very hard to privatize the risk of how you bring them in. As much as the Chamber or JAX USA, we bring in smart young people, and then we try to convince them to stay. We try to connect them with internships and externships and all sorts of the kinds of things that was mentioned relative to the partnership. So I completely agree with coming here from New York and Washington and Philadelphia. It's a very flat, very accessible, very warm. I think my wife and I have found this place wonderful to work in. But you know, the university's building buildings and showing growth. And while most people would think of a private liberal arts and sciences school always teaching the classic liberal arts, which we do, if you look at the really fast-growing areas over there now, it's artificial intelligence, robotics, engineering, mm-hmm. cybersecurity, marine sciences, aviation. And I think that's exciting to people. We've signed 450 partnership agreements since I got there, and that's part of the strategy. So full speed ahead.
Full speed ahead. Okay. Oceana, Erin Handy.
Well, in the 4 years I've been with Oceana, based right here in Jacksonville Beach, we have built a coalition of conservation groups, including Sierra Club and the St. John's River Keeper and the Surfrider Foundation, in our fight to protect our coasts and stop the expansion of offshore drilling and the exploration, mm-hmm. the seismic air gun blasting process that could lead to oil rigs off our coast and put our coastal economies and our tourism economy at risk in Florida. And we've built an army of opposition. Over 75 municipalities, all of our First Coast coastal communities have passed resolutions opposing seismic air gun blasting and offshore drilling. And we have a business coalition on both the Gulf Coast of Florida and the Atlantic Coast of Florida representing over 44,000 businesses that oppose any kind of offshore exploration and drilling off our coasts. So thanks to all of our coalition partners who have worked on this and will continue the fight to protect our coast.
All right. And Dave Josserand with the Alzheimer's Association.
So the Alzheimer's Association is the largest nonprofit organization focused on Alzheimer's and other dementias and the largest in the world. This is a disease as we all get older and start experiencing it through our families and our parents and in some sad cases ourselves. This could be the epidemic of our generation in many respects. So the Alzheimer's Association is focused on care programs that are deployed into the market to work with families and those that are suffering from Alzheimer's. Also works on research with research funding for many, many grants each year. And also works in the area of advocacy with public policy. Most recent success on that is to try to advocate for a greater investment in research. President Trump just signed into law the budget for NIH that included $1.3 billion in research for Alzheimer's disease to solve this dreaded disease. There are people being diagnosed with Alzheimer's every 65 seconds. So this is something that while there's slightly less than 6 million people suffering from it, it's affecting another 15 million people that are caregiving. So we're working on those areas of raising money to support the public policy work, to support the research, most importantly, and also support the care for families in our local communities.
And last but not least, Kevin Gay, Operation New Hope.
Well, I think we're really excited the fact that we have, in Jacksonville, become kind of one of the thought leaders now around the country in this work. You know, we have, as Dave just mentioned it, you know, with the work that he's done, I lost a father to the disease 4 years ago. So it's something that touched my heart, and it is an epidemic. One of the other epidemics is in our criminal justice system, how we've really created an underclass, if you would, in our country. And I think I'm excited about what we've been able to be a part of here in Jacksonville. We were the first city to ban the box. I wrote it with Councilman Kevin Hyde in 2008.
Checking a box if you have a felony conviction, right, on a job application. Right.
Which precludes a lot of people from that. And, you know, we've begun to move the needle, I think, nationally in engaging folks in the conversation. And so I'm proud of this city. This city is so wonderful. You know, we have 350 employers that are willing to hire folks with a record. We're beginning to humanize this story, which is something the country needs to do. And so we're just really glad to be a part of something that really is community-wide effort. Melissa Nelson and the work that's happening with our criminal justice system is incredible, and it's complementing this work every day. So just an honor to be here with this great crowd this morning.
It's an honor to have you all. You're all making incredible contributions. Thank you all for joining this roundtable today. Really good to get your thoughts. Tim Koss, president of JU, Aaron Handy with Oceana, Dave Josseram with the Alzheimer's Association, Kevin Gay, Operation New Hope. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Much more still ahead later. Girls are now Cub Scouts this year for the first time. We'll find out how that's going. But up next, developing a breast cancer vaccine for Mayo Clinic. We'll be right back.
Westminster St. Augustine, an active senior living community located in World Golf Village, offers residents maintenance-free living with access to golf and tennis, dining, housekeeping, and 24-hour security, plus supportive and healthcare services. More at westminstersaugustinefl.org.
Attorney Tad Dalagall, Jacksonville. Professional licensure defense, non-compete agreements, severance agreements, and public and private employment litigation. Information at protectingcareers.com or 633-5000. Dalagall Law Offices, PA. A1A Solar designs and installs residential and commercial solar electric systems. NABCET certified A1A Solar provides sustainable and financially efficient energy solutions. Learn whether solar is right for you with a 5-question quiz at a1asolar.com.
I'm Jessica Palumbo. Every Thursday, I host The Jackson on WJCT.
We actually have some pretty great public spaces here in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is still trying to wrap its head around clustering.
The urban core was Jacksonville's original city limits before consolidation in 1968.
Tomorrow during Morning Edition, here on 89.9.
Support for The Jackson on WJCT comes from the Jacksonville Downtown Investment Authority.
Welcome back. Well, it's medical news offering help and hope to women dealing with breast cancer. Breast cancer vaccine clinical trials are going on right now at Jacksonville's Mayo Clinic. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so here with more vital information, we welcome Dr. Sarah Chumsery. She's a breast oncologist at Mayo Clinic. Doctor, so good to see you.
Thank you very much for having me in the program. So I would like to let you know about the new studies that we have at Mayo Clinic. So we basically have a new clinical trials that using immunotherapy. So these are treatment that basically harness patients' full potential on their immune system to fight and against the cancer, to help eliminate the cancer. So we have several cancer vaccine that we are studying right now at Mayo Clinic. So cancer vaccine is basically the treatment, the vaccine that we generate to help patients mount immune response to attack the cancer. So like similar to getting the flu shot, we can now develop the vaccine that will help patients to generate their immune system to attack their own cancer. So we have several trials ongoing right now in patients with triple negative breast cancer and also HER2 positive breast cancer.
Okay, so this involves triple negative breast cancer and another called HER2. That's human epidermal.
Epidermal growth factor. Growth factor.
Okay, it's a long. It's a long way of saying it, but two different types of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Women are eligible for these trials.
Right.
So not necessarily any cancer patient can be part of this. There is more than one kind of breast cancer, in other words.
That is correct. So if you look at breast cancer, you can divide them into three major subtypes. estrogen or hormone receptor positive breast cancer. That type of breast cancer can be treated really well with a hormone blocker, which we use for a long time to treat breast cancer. But the other two breast cancer, which are the triple negative and the HER2 positive breast cancer, these two type of breast cancer does not, particularly the triple negative breast cancer, does not a whole lot of treatment that we can use. This is the reason why we try to develop these immunotherapy to treat specifically that particular type of cancer.
Now, Mayo Clinic got an $11 million grant from the Department of Defense to develop this vaccine trial. Why is the Department of Defense giving Mayo Clinic money for breast cancer research?
Right. So a lot of people do not know this. Department of Defense actually has a program called BCRP program, which is based basically the breast cancer research program that also fund clinical trials and study that related to breast cancer. And this particular program was developed several years ago by the patients with breast cancer that actually went to the Capitol to get the funding specifically for breast cancer research. Mm. And this particular program actually has grown significantly in the past few years. It also includes some other type of cancer too, like ovarian cancer, prostate cancer. And we are very excited to get the funding to do this particular vaccine trial.
And so basically, women that participate in this trial will receive this immunotherapy, and then you'll study how robust, I guess, their immune response is to the cancer cells. What types of responses are already happening with patients that are getting this kind of immunotherapy?
Right. So the trial that we have in triple negative breast cancer with the cancer vaccine, we already enrolled several patients. So based on our previous trial, has shown that the vaccine actually can generate robust immune response. And some of these new vaccine that we have actually stimulate both B and T cells, which is a little bit better than a previous cancer vaccine that has been developed in the past. Right now we're doing the study to look at maybe perhaps when we use this particular vaccine, since we can generate robust immune response, can we perhaps prevent the cancer from coming back? So that is the purpose of the current
to prevent a recurrence of cancer.
Yes, that is correct.
So important, because that 5-year mark for women or any cancer patient is so important that the cancer doesn't recur.
Yeah.
Okay. So how can people be part of this clinical trial at Mayo Clinic?
So you can contact our Jacoby Center for Breast Health at 904-953-0707. And we have the research coordinator group that then we can direct you to the clinical trials. We may need to have you come in to be evaluated for the certain trial. But we do have multiple other clinical trials too, not just that particular trial.
Right. So inquire about other ones. But it's the Jacoby Center for Breast Health at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville.
Yes.
It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and immunotherapy is such a game changer for cancer treatment. It's so exciting that right here in Jacksonville, we have this world-class care for patients. So take advantage of it if you or a loved one needs it. Dr. Sarah Chumsri, breast oncologist at Mayo Clinic. Good to see you.
Thank you very much having me. Thank you.
And still to come, why the Boy Scouts are now just the Scouts. We'll tell you about the first girls to join Cub Scouts here in our area and around the country. That's after this.
CNS Healthcare is offering an Alzheimer's research study focused on management of agitation and aggression. Has Alzheimer's changed your loved one? Have they become verbally or physically abusive? Learn more at cnshealthcare.com. Jack's Federal Credit Union. Anyone in Northeast Florida is eligible to open accounts and apply for loans over the phone at 475-8000, online at jacksfcu.org, or at any of their 8 local branches.
Hi, I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Join us Friday for the Florida Roundup, where we talk about the biggest stories in the state.
From politics to education, the environment, and more. If it's news in Florida, we want to hear from you.
Let your voice be heard. Join the conversation on the Florida Roundup.
Fridays at noon on WJCT.
Hi, I'm Andrew Wickman, host of Blues Horizon. The best in classic and modern blues is now on twice a week. Blues Horizon, Monday and Wednesday nights at 11, right here on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world, your music.
WJCT readers are here for you. With the Florida Times Union, complete with news, op-eds, and obits, our readers will bring the paper to life to serve those with blindness and other physical challenges. Need our service? Go online to wjct.org/radio reading. Listen there and register as a listener, or we'll send you a special radio free. Call us at 904-358-6308, because at Radio Reading, we give voice to the printed word.
All right. Well, how about this? The North Florida Council of the Boy Scouts of America is signing up new recruits. They do that every year at this time. But there's something different this year. It's a major change for the Boy Scouts. Girls this year, for the first time, can sign up for Cub Scouts in girls-only dens. Now, the organization made this announcement back in May, and it would actually also announce that it's dropping the boy in Boy Scouts of America to become Scouts BSA. More than 40,000 girls across the country have enrolled in Cub Scouts this year. What's driving this change? Well, here with more about that and some other news and notes from Scouts, we welcome Patrick Linforce and Michelle Thompson with the North Florida Council of BSA. Good to see you both.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Good morning. And also here, Candace Young. She is a mom who's brought both her kids, her son and her daughter, both of whom are now in Scouts, Gavin and Mary. Welcome, young family.
Good morning.
Good morning,
good
kids.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, in a moment, we'll hear from the kids. But first, let's go to Patrick and Michelle. This is the first time that Boy Scouts have admitted girls to Cub Scouting. Let's explain for people that haven't followed this, what made this change? What prompted this change?
Well, first of all, Melissa, thanks for the opportunity today. And I just want to share just a quick note. You know, the Boy Scouts of America is not changing its name. The Boy Scouts of America has been around for 108 years as an organization, and we're not changing our organization name. What is changing is that Boy Scout program name next year,
okay,
when girls start in troops of their own on February 1st, 2019. That particular program name is going to change to Scouts BSA.
Scouts BSA.
You got it. You got
okay.
it. So we offer five programs in the Boy Scouts of America: Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, soon to be Scouts BSA, Venturing, Sea Scouts, and Exploring. But the organization name isn't changing. So here's what prompted this change. First of all, our families have been asking for this for a long time. Cub Scouts has been a family program for generations. So when a young person joins Cub Scouts, that boy is invited to bring his whole family on the activities and adventures and campouts. And there are decades and decades of girls who have experienced Cub Scouts because of their brothers. And culturally, it's just called a Cub Scout sister, right? But they weren't allowed to wear the uniform or earn the patch or get recognized for the work that they've done. And today's families, we know that today's families are busier than ever. Many families are dual income or single parent households, and we know that families want what scouting provides, character education for young people. And so this is an opportunity for a family that has boys and girls, or just boys or just girls, to participate in the great program of Cub Scouting.
All right, let's talk to one of those families. Candace Young, you brought your kids.
I did. Good morning.
Good morning. So your daughter Mary is sitting here with you. You wanted Mary to be part of Cub Scouts, which her brother Gavin was already a part of.
Correct. We've been active in Cub Scouting for 4 years now.
Okay. So Mary, you're a Cub Scout and you're wearing the uniform. What's it like? How are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it well.
What do you like about it?
It's good, and I like about it is it's nice and comfy, and it has
the uniform. Yeah, it looks like it is,
and it has lots of patches on it.
Oh, you've earned a bunch of patches already. I can see. Have you been camping yet?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
It was good.
Yeah, it is fun to go camping. All right, let's talk to your brother real quick, Gavin. What do you think about girls joining Cub Scouts?
Well, I think that it allows her to feel what it's like to become a scout and enjoy being a scout.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she can get recognition for it.
Yeah, that's great. Let me ask you, Candace, as a mom, why was it important for you to have Mary join Cub Scouts rather than, say, Girl Scouts of America? I mean, they do a lot of the same things. But there are a lot of families like yours that want the opportunity for their daughters to be in this particular program. What was the difference for you?
As a busy mom, these kids have a ton of activities, and it's really nice to have one, per se, less stop to make. We are able to participate in this as a full family and not have to worry about having to scatter ourselves amidst a busy calendar as it is.
Sure. That's such an important factor. You know, also, Patrick, Eagle Scouting is a big deal in the Boy Scouts. And I think I saw a study that showed that a high percentage of men that had been Eagle Scouts as kids went on to really significant career success later in life. And so parents of girls wanted this opportunity for their daughters as well, the opportunity to become an Eagle Scout. Is that driving some of this too?
Absolutely. When girls have the opportunity to join Scouts BSA next year in troops of their own, they're going to be able to earn the merit badges and get on the advancement path that boys have enjoyed for 108 years. And they'll have the opportunity to earn the Eagle Scout Award, which is the highest award that a scout can earn. And for generations, it's been recognized as a symbol of character and leadership. And, you know, I do not have daughters. I have two sons, but I can certainly imagine if I did, would I want that opportunity for my daughters that I got to enjoy as an Eagle Scout? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, protect that single gender nature of the program. Both my sons are in Scouts, and my oldest son is in a Boy Scout troop, and his experience is not going to change next year. He's still going to be in a troop of boys that are going to act silly when they're out in the woods, and they're going to have the opportunity to become leaders amongst themselves. But now girls will be in troops of their own with the same opportunity, which is pretty cool.
Michelle Thompson, these are single gender groups. So, or actually, Patrick, why don't you tell me who leads the girl groups when they go out, the Cub Scouts that are girls?
So the beauty of the Boy Scouts of America, our movement, is we are volunteer led. I lead a staff of about 20 people that serve 17 counties here in North Florida. We serve 13,000 young people, and we do it through a network of faith-based and civic-based organizations that provide us about almost 5,000 volunteers. We're a volunteer-led movement. We train our volunteers. They're parents of the kids, typically. So the same thing that has existed in Cub Scout packs and Boy Scout troops will be the same for girl troops in Scouts BSA. It'll be parents that step up and step in and volunteer their time and energy to be great volunteers.
Are you one of them, Candace?
I am. I've been leading Cub Scouts now for 4 years.
You've got a uniform on as well, by the way. We need to point out the whole family is in their uniform.
Yes, we are.
And you guys look great. Well, in a moment, as we talk about the changes with Boy Scouts, we're going to take a break and come back to tell you about a special opportunity if you have a young one who's interested in scouting and they might have special needs. All about the Camperee, the Learning for Life Special Needs Camperee with Scouts. That's after this break. Stay with us.
The First Coast Free Thought Society presents Lessons We're Not Learning in the Trump Era by David Schwambaird, UNF Political Science Professor, Monday, October 15th, 6:30 p.m. at the Buckman Bridge Unitarian Church. More at firstcoastfreethoughtsociety.org.
Heritage Publishing, Inc. produces the annual Healthcare Guide, a comprehensive directory of healthcare providers in Jacksonville and Northeast Florida. The guide provides opportunities for local businesses to reach the healthcare providers as well as the general public. HeritagePublishingInc.com for information.
Thousands in Florida are under mandatory evacuation orders ahead of Hurricane Michael, but officials are worried not enough people are leaving.
You're going to be stuck in your home because that's the only place you can try to ride this out. You're going to call 911.
and you're not going to get anyone that can respond.
I'm Elsa Chang. The scene in Tallahassee before a major hurricane. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Hi, I'm Mayor Lenny Curry. You know 630 City? It's the familiar place you go when you need to know. During severe weather conditions, our 630 City Call Center operates around the clock, equipping citizens with information they may need to make decisions and resolve issues. Be sure to add their number, 630 City, to your favorites, and remember to pick up a 2018 Hurricane Preparedness Guide from your neighborhood public library. Be Jack's ready.
A Star is Born promised to be a rapturous rock and roll remake of a timeless romantic saga. But does it deliver? Hollywood has made and remade this story since 1937. Bradley Cooper's directorial debut and Lady Gaga's performance have been winning praise and making money. The Movie Club reviews A Star is Born. Next time on 1A.
Today at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. We're continuing to talk with the group that we have in studio about changes with the Boy Scouts of America, admitting girls to the Cub Scouts for the first time. Now, in addition to that, the North Florida Council of the Boy Scouts of America is hosting a free event later this month for exceptional students and their families. It's called a Special Needs Camporee. And with more about that, let's go now to Michelle Thompson with the North Florida Council. Hey, Michelle.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being with us. Okay, so scouting is such a great program for kids, including special needs kids.
Absolutely.
That's the message here. So what all is on the agenda?
So the special needs program is one of those best kept secrets that Boy Scouts have. And it's involved in five different counties in the school, elementary, high school, and middle school as well. And it gives the opportunity to be involved in scouting in their classroom and tie it in with their curriculum. They get to earn badges and come to special events like the Camporee. The Camporee is open for every family with special needs, and it's a whole lot of fun. It is October 20th through the 21st. We have a wonderful midway for the families to come out and have play games. They get to ride on the boats and spend time with each other in a stress-free environment where they can be welcome with their child with special needs. We also have a campfire to close the evening and tents for them to stay in if they choose.
This is coming up October 20th and 21st at Doctors Lake in Orange Park.
That's correct,
but yes. People need to register by Friday.
Actually, till Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yes, we opened it until next Wednesday.
Till next week. Okay, so people have a little more time to register for this now. Not only will there be crafts and games, leatherworking, powerboat rides, kids get to fish. They
Absolutely.
Get to do, and then they get to camp out.
Yes, yes.
That's exciting.
That's very exciting. And the Boy Scouts are volunteers who run the whole program for them. So the special needs children get to see what scouting is like, and we have several youth who join a troop or a pack as a family afterwards.
Oh, how fun. And it looks like you're going to have a bonfire.
Yes.
Some dancing around the fire, all that good stuff.
Yes.
Perfect.
And we even have s'mores.
What could be better? I mean, that just sounds like the perfect fall family activity, Patrick. That sounds great. People do need to go and register on your website, though, right?
Absolutely. NFCScouting.org is the website to go to register for that. You can find it on our calendar. And I believe our direct link is NFCScouting.org/SNC,
yes,
right?
Special needs
Camporee. Just to share, Melissa, my son and his troop go to this event every year. They look forward to it every year. It's one of the highlights on their calendar that they get to participate and put on this great event.
Very nice. Let's go back to the Young family. Are you going to the special needs Camporee?
Sadly, we have another camp out on our calendar that weekend.
Oh, another camp out. So kids, let's go back to the kids. Mary, what do you like about camping out?
It's really good to camp out because you find lots of nature around you, and you would like have toads, you would have cockroaches, you would have the whole bit.
Yeah, they're out there. You seen any other critters? You seen any bears or owls or gators or anything like that?
No.
Nothing like that? Were you ever scared the first time you camped out in a tent?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I was too when I was about your age. But then I kind of thought it was exciting and fun. Were you cold in your sleeping bag or how was that for you?
It was good.
It was good?
Although I had to sleep on the ground.
And then did you make breakfast over the fire in the morning outside? Did you get to do that? Yeah?
No.
No? Okay.
As Cub Scouts, they can't make breakfast.
They can't do that.
Yet.
Yeah, that's true. It's been a while since I've done this, so forgive me. Okay, Gavin, how about you? What do you like best about scouting?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I think I like the whole thing.
Like the whole thing? You like being outside?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many? And are you on your way to becoming an Eagle Scout?
I hope so.
Yeah. How about you, Mary? Do you want to become an Eagle Scout?
Yes. That's my goal.
That's your goal. Very nice. Well, I know you'll achieve it, kids. And thanks for coming in. You look great in your uniforms. Congrats on all the patches and all the great stuff you're doing. And Candace Young, mom of Gavin and Mary, thank you for coming in today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
And also thanks to Patrick Linfors and Michelle Thompson, North Florida Council of Boy Scouts of America. Again, to register for the Special Needs Camperee, go to NFCScouting.org. If you have a special needs child that would like to experience the joy of scouting. Thanks so much, guys, for being with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Melissa.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board during the hour. Our theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. And if you missed anything this morning, just catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8 o'clock. 1A is up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is 89.9. Thanks so much for listening. Fill-in host Charles Griggs will be in for me tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.